Nation Station, Manx Radio.
Pippa, you've just emerged from the back kitchen with a number of interesting looking boxes. What is in these?
So the first box that I've just opened is called Wood Sorrel. It's from Fleshwick Forest, not far from here. It's really appley and citrusy, and it really grows in abundance all across the forest floor.
It looks like something you would essentially just buy in a supermarket. It's mad to think that you could just go into the forest and pick this up.
So that's just some wild fennel. So it tends to grow by a river, and this is from a river in Colby.
So how do you know then, looking at this, when it's what it's okay to pick and what isn't okay to pick? Because if you just see this, that is basically just going to be immediately edible, is it?
So I'd suggest getting yourself, let's say, to start like a Collins pocketbook foraging book, something along the lines of that, just to start with. Read it a few nights before bed with a forage tea, maybe. Chamomile's in right now, actually, so go get some. The leaves are all falling off and the petals are falling off, so you can actually brew tea with it. So start with a basic book and just educate yourself on maybe just a few things to start opening your eyes and seeing on your walks. Once you start opening your eyes, you really see a lot.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I can smell it as well. It all smells awesome. And is that looks like sort of watercress or something, is it, in the end tub?
Sure. So it is watercress, yes.
Yay, and again, right.
Yeah. This is growing down the river that runs towards the sea at Fleshwick. One thing I'd say with things that grow by the water and stuff, really do make sure you wash it well. Long tails, dogs.
And that's the thing, and we just had a little chat in the background there about the fact that maybe if you are picking stuff like this, aim high.
Yeah, so obviously there's a few rules with your picking. One, pick sustainably, so don't just pick a lot of stuff from one area or a lot of, let's say, pine shoots off one tree. You really do have to disperse your picking to obviously make sure it's sustainable. Sometimes picking does encourage growth as well, in case you're thinking picking everything it's going to deplete the produce on the island. No, actually it can be encouraging for the plant. But yeah, also be aware where you're picking, obviously dogs peeing and stuff, so try to pick high.
Mm-hmm. And so far these three tubs, all from very close to where we are now at Foraging Vintners. Does it depend on what parts of the island you're in then as to what you're actually going to find?
Yeah, obviously it is just still a small island, so up to some extent the terrain and everything is similar everywhere, but there will be patches where there's something in abundance and something not. Mm-hmm. But fundamentally you can find the same things over the island.
And will it have a slightly different taste depending on where it's grown because of the different earth it's in?
Yeah, slightly, but to be honest, most of the things that are edible and that can be foraged are quite pungent and quite strong in flavour anyway.
So there's a huge difference between foraged and supermarket bought.
Yeah, I mean, going back to the watercress, something that really got me into this was in a restaurant I was working at before, I was using a bag of watercress that had been, you know, it's come over in the boat, packaged somewhere else, grown somewhere else, and then travelled from yet somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Whereas this product is within 5 minutes walking distance, tastes so much fresher, so there's more nutrients obviously because it's just been picked, which is good for your immune system and you're respecting the seasonality again. Mm-hmm. But also it's free and it's local. We don't need to worry if the boat doesn't go, it's on our doorstep.
Amazing. I feel like, can I try a little bit while it's here? So is it clean and ready to eat? I'm going to try some watercress, people. It's got to be done. It's a lovely little sprig of it here. It immediately has so much more flavour. Immediately. It's so peppery and a little bit sweet as well. It's absolutely gorgeous. In fact, it's wonderful. I'm from literally just around the corner. Okay, what are in these final two tubs? I have no idea what that is.
So I'll skim past this one. It's not as interesting, arguably. It's just some silverweed. So it's kind of silvery on the other side. It grows everywhere. It's really in season right now along pathways and stuff all over the island. Quite chewy, so it's nice to be cooked, and again bitter. At the minute that's on as a bitter herb served with my Manx fillet of beef. And then the last tub is pineapple weed. So it looks like little bits of chamomile, and it grows in the cracks of every pavement you can possibly imagine. This is the most common forageable herb on the island. It's everywhere. And as the name suggests, pineapple weed, it's very citrusy and pineapple-y and fresh, and you can do so much with it. You can make dressings, syrups for cocktails. We're hopefully going to do a pineapple weed forage cocktail in the bar next week.
Wow.
Which goes really nice with like the local gins and stuff here. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's super citrusy and just so common. Like, we'll post a picture, and if you see this, I pray you pick it up and try it.
Okay, well, I'm going to do that in a minute. But before I do, I just want to ask, so we're looking at sort of herbs, garnishes, salad-y type stuff here. Can you get more substantial items?
It depends what you mean by substantial. Yeah. So seaweed, maybe. You can get that in a lot of bulk, and that has a lot of uses. You can obviously go in for the seafood stuff. You know, there's like winkles and razor clams and stuff. But again, there are some restrictions there. Don't just go and like take them all off one beach. It's not very fair.
Yeah. And then, of course, there's likes of, I suppose, mushrooms and things. But again, you've got to be very careful with that.
Yeah, as for mushrooms, I would just suggest not to.
Yeah.
Until you've got familiar with plants. Even for me, I'm still just dabbling on that. I mean, if you're going to go with mushrooms, go for the big, massive, white puffballs. That's just a great place to start, and you can't go wrong. It looks like a football.
That's amazing. Is there any danger in any of the herbs and things that we're talking about?
Yeah, so obviously, if you're going to research into this a little bit more, you'll come across some rules, regulations and risks, and adverse effects and stuff like that. For example, valerian, that's growing everywhere. Well, it's just dying out now. It's all the pink flowers on the roadsides, red valerian. That's really tasty and edible. However, if you eat it for about 2 weeks or more, maybe you will lucid dream. And also, it's not good if you're pregnant, for example. So each thing does come with its own risks and benefits. But most of everything I use in the restaurant, there's no risk at all, because no amount of public liability insurance can cover that.
Your knowledge is just amazing, Pippa. It really is. And I'm now genuinely excited about going out and doing this. And you're going to set me a challenge. But what we're going to do is we're going to walk down to the seaside, aren't we, essentially? What are we looking for?
So we'll just go for some basic stuff. So like some sea beets. So they're just a plant that grows around the rocks, around the sea. They're sea beets probably because of their texture, and it's like spinach. It's really easy to spot, so we'll go for some of that. Show you the chamomile, because again, that's in abundance, and you can make some tea maybe.
Lovely.
And yeah, we'll just see what's about. Rose hips might be starting to form. I've seen a blackcurrant bush down the road. Obviously, blackberries are just starting to come in. Seaweed maybe, actually, I'll show you. Depending on the tide level, it's what you're going to get.
Excellent. We're going to go for a wander. Brilliant. We're now outside. As we're walking, Pippa, you've just given me this week's current menu, which has wonderful things on it, like unexpected garden cherries. First of all, I want you to explain that.
So basically, somebody just came in and dumped a big, massive bowl of garden cherries on the side. Don't know where they came from. Don't know who gave me them. So I thought I'd best respect them and turn them into something nice. And now they're on the menu.
So not only do you know about foraging, but my word, you certainly know what to do with what you've foraged. Because some of these things just look absolutely wonderful. So you've got Manx beef fillet stock sauce, that fleshic bitter herb that you talked about. Manx buttermilk honey, Gansey gooseberries. Also the fact that it's so specific to the areas that you're picking up from as well is wonderful. So tell us what we're walking past now, because you're saying you particularly wanted to come down this way.
I just thought we'd swing by a plant called bitter vetch. This one is, for some reason, far, far more advanced than all the plants around the area. It's already started to pod. So, it's really bitter and a lovely herb, so I'll get you to try it.
Ooh, so it looks like almost like little kind of vanilla pods. Or little black pea pods or something on there, but clearly it's not going to taste like either of those.
Well, actually, it is going to taste like peas.
Wow.
So the black pods, they've already like seeded, so you wouldn't touch those. But the ones that are already still green are going to pod open and eat the pea. And they actually do taste like peas, so yes, you are.
And this is literally at the side of the road, people. This is amazing. Okay, so she's popping one open. There's an actual pea in there. Hold on, I'm going to try this right now. And of course, it's protected by the casing, so, okay. I mean, it's a mini pea, and it has the same beautiful sort of sweetness that a fresh pea does. So do you use this in your cooking at the moment?
So I've actually used this as a garnish for the new dish that's gone on the snack menu today, which is just literally some fried Manx pork. The breadcrumbs are recycled from bread, obviously, that's gone to waste. Mm-hmm. A sauce, which is beef mayo, So it's a beef stock and a mayo combined. And then, yeah, the garnish is a wild kimchi, so made from wild ingredients, fermented with 2% salt into a kimchi. And then the herb is bitter vetch, literally from outside the place.
Just a, literally like a 10 second practically walk down the hill and there it is. This really is proving just in these few minutes that you can just walk outside your door and pick stuff up. I'm hoping I'm going to be able to do this for the challenge that you're going to set me anyway. She's just sort of scouring everything as she goes. You're always on the lookout, aren't you? Smelling something here, what's that?
So I've just found some meadow sweet. This one's looking a little bit old and I wouldn't really pick it, but just to show you what it is and for you to smell it more than anything, if you'd smell it, please.
Okay, I'm smelling it now. I can't put my finger on what that smells like, but it reminds me of something. But it's a lovely smell. And again, I have seen this before on the roadside, would have no idea. So that's something that you can pick and make use of as well, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely. We've just picked a load of it today, myself and Bob on the bar in Foraging Vintners. Mm-hmm. We've picked all the flowers off it rigorously. It was quite a lot of effort when it's a big bouquet of it. And then the flowers will become a syrup using local honey from Port St. Mary from the training school.
Wow.
And then we'll use that for a forage cocktail again with Foraging Vintners in collaboration.
God, amazing. And again, we've taken about 10 steps to get to that from the bitter vetch. So again, just right beside us. And now we're just going to walk around, basically, walk around the bay here. Port Erin Bay is where we are. I mean, I'm guessing, like you said, people might go for whelks or there's razor clams and that sort of thing, isn't there? But how do you pick a razor clam, by the way?
Basically, you wait till the tide's gone all the way out and then you just put saline salt solution down the hole to force it to come up and then get a good old gardening glove on and just grab it.
Have you cooked with them before?
Yes, but I would completely recommend straight out fresh and then just like a simple ceviche or some kind of raw dish with them, because that's respecting them the most for what they are.
Your knowledge is quite extraordinary, Piper, I have to say. Do you spend a lot of time reading and sort of updating?
It depends what you mean by a lot of time. So for me, it's not enough. Most of the time, it's just because I like going out on dog walks and then I'm reading and then going for a walk and then reading and going for a walk. So yeah, kind of extensive and yeah, a lot of reading, but it is literally just walking around the island. That is the education in itself. Like, you don't even really need to read books. You just need to be out in the nature and just learn what's around you and just become part of your surroundings and actually open your eyes to what there is rather than walking around on a mobile phone.
Oh, I'm so with you there. And you say open your eyes to what there is. She's been scanning as we've been going. We are currently on Port Erin Bay on the sand. And what have you just picked up here?
So we're not going to eat this right now. But this is just a little strand of sea spaghetti. It was on my menu at Versa last week with just some fresh cheese and a pesto made from stuff from our gardens. So yeah, it looks like spaghetti. Don't pick it directly off the sand. For example, if you're out paddleboarding and you see a bunch of it growing under the water, grab it and bring it to me. It's actually really expensive to buy online when it's dried out as well. So it literally looks like brown spaghetti. And there's two types, one that's hollow, so it's like a tube. That's not the one. And unfortunately, I've just noticed that is the one I've picked up. But the one that's not hollow is sea spaghetti. And just marinate it in some salt, like self-brine it, draw out those toxins, and then blanch it a couple of times as if you would spaghetti, just a little bit more because it's a little bit of a firm texture. And it's really, really healthy and nice substitute for pasta.
And so you mentioned the blanching and that sort of technique, which I know it's not complicated, but do you have to treat these fresh and wild things with a little bit more time and care? Or actually, is it easier than buying supermarket stuff?
I would say it's a lot easier. Obviously, the effort of actually going out and getting it and stuff, but if you're already out walking and doing stuff like that we do on the Isle of Man anyway, is that effort? Not really. You're already out and about. So the only effort is the actual acquiring of the ingredients. But then in actually preparing them, because they're so fresh and so local and there's no rubbish in them, like, yeah, actually it's a lot less effort. It just is what it is, and you put it on your plate and you eat it and you enjoy it.
And the other thing about it, obviously, that we need to be aware of is how seasonal things are, because of course if you're picking up what's around you, that's going to change at different times of year. What is your favourite time of year to go out foraging? When do you get what you would class as the best haul?
Well, obviously not in December. That is a difficult time. Like in Denmark, in December, like in the restaurants, they're just pulling stuff out that they've preserved and pickled and stuff from the summer before. So I'd say late spring going into the summer for me is by far the best time, yeah, when everything's starting to sprout and stuff. But the actual landmark situation of it all for me is when the wild garlic is just about to flower and they have little buds which you fundamentally can use as capers. Mm-hmm. If you just salt them and kind of like vacuum pack them or put them in a jar, that's what you're pulling out in December.
Yeah, and that's the thing as well, it's being a bit sort of inventive with it as well and just sort of thinking, what can you do with it? You can pickle it, you can to preserve it like you said, so you don't have to use it immediately either. And I'm assuming some of it you can freeze.
Yeah, I mean, in the freezer for my restaurant, I've got a variety of stuff frozen down because at the end of the day, it's with the season, and when it's gone, it's gone.
Yeah.
So sometimes it is a good idea to freeze it. So we're just going to walk over the other side of the beach and hopefully come across some sea beets and that kind of thing.
Sea beets, as in like beetroot?
Yeah. So I've got a big bunch of those in my freezer, which I'll just pull out and add in like and saute as greens, like normal spinach that I would at home.
And this is ace, because this isn't, you know, we talk, obviously we have our monthly visits up to Tanya Anderson's allotment with lovely greens, and she is growing vegetables, berries and fruits and things up there, and salads, but that is an intentional kind of effort that you're putting in to actually grow everything, whereas this, it's just picking what is literally at your feet or by your head or whatever.
Yeah, so I've got some herb pots and stuff at home, and I'm growing some stuff, and I'll throw some of those things on my menu sometimes, but that's probably for me when I'm being lazy. But yeah, so for me the foraging and the growing at home is equally as important, and that is the kind of thing I'm an advocate for. Basically anything that doesn't come off a boat or in, yeah, a package, I'm all for.
And so now we walked over to the other side of the bay, going through the little puddles here. I should have put my wellies on, Pippa. But it does look, I mean, I'm looking at the seaweed. You picked up the spaghetti. Oh, there's a razor clam shell there. You picked up the spaghetti before. Normal seaweed that we see on the beach, for instance, this stuff now at our feet on the rocks, is it edible?
As the tide goes out, there's different stages where you see different kinds of seaweed. So the first one is what we call gutweed. So it's the slimy green stuff that's all weedy. Mm-hmm. As long as it's attached to a rock, snip it off, not too close to its roots, let it grow again. Just dry it out and use it to season your food rather than salt. Mm-hmm. It's really, really nice. And then there's another green one that's a little bit more substantial and looks more leafy rather than mossy and weedy. And that's called sea lettuce. And that one is what you'd have in your Chinese foods and stuff, your crispy seaweed.
Mm-hmm. So it really is seaweed, people. There's a rumour that it was cabbage, but it's not. It's actually seaweed.
Sometimes.
Sometimes. I love the fact that there's some people rock pooling over there as well. Let's hope that they get something for their dinner too. So we're walking up across the rocks now. Can you eat limpets?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Limpet meat is absolutely lovely. It's just very laborious because you have to pick out each one with a little pin. And it's just not really worth the effort. You might as well just let them live.
And it's very difficult to get them off the rocks anyway, isn't it?
Yeah, I find get like a chisel that you clean a grill with or something like that and a mallet and just go pop.
Yeah. And that's good protein, I'm assuming, as well. So, yeah, that's what it, again, gives you a little bit of a meat for your plate there.
Right, so this is sea beet. We'll start here.
Aha. Okay, so we've walked up some steps and we're looking at a wall. Now this, yeah, again, I've seen this a lot. I have no idea what it is.
So it's actually kind of out of season right now, just. The leaves are still great. But as you can see, the whole plant kind of looks a little bit sun bleached. It's gone a little bit yellow because it's coming out of season. Mm-hmm. But sea beets, again, yeah, really great alternative to like spinach or that kind of thing.
sea beet. Okay, that's an interesting thing to know. And again, it's something that I'm assuming grows all over the island, us being an island.
Yeah, particularly around Peel Castle. Mm-hmm. Oh gosh, it's literally beet castle. It's everywhere, absolutely everywhere.
So if you spot someone ripping up the beet from the side of the castle, you know that it's probably Pippa preparing for her next menu. Oh, what's this?
So this is a bit of dried out common sorrel. The wood sorrel that we were speaking about earlier, that's the really small stuff. But these gigantic things that reach up probably as tall as you in a field with the red flowers, that's common sorrel. So all the leaves that have now crinkled up, a couple of weeks ago, they would have been absolutely fantastic in a salad.
And again, loads of wildflowers over here that we're looking at too. And, you know, we just look at them and think, aren't they pretty and they're good for the bees? But no, they're probably actually quite good for us as well.
So here we have a thing called knapweed, common knapweed. So it's part of the clover family and the flowers are edible. For me, it's merely decoration on my dishes, but it's completely edible.
It looks almost like a kind of thistle, but a less painful one. Right, I'm just going to point at things. This yellow one, is that edible?
No, and you just know that from reading books and, for me, Instagram with food and stuff and seeing all these dishes from people that I admire and aspire to be like.
And so just, the thing that interests me is that you learnt all this from, I mean, some of the masters really, didn't you?
Yeah, so I went to do an internship in Denmark, in Copenhagen, at 108. It's like a one-star Michelin restaurant. It's the baby brother of Noma. So I was working with Noma and in the Noma kitchen and then also interning in 108. So 18 hours a day, 6 days a week, pretty Ooh. Much. You know, maybe you're just picking flowers, picking leaves, picking this, and you really do get to know your stuff. But we did a foraging day where we went to go and pick pine shoots. And that, for me, was the most inspiring thing. Like, I could just go out into a forest with a tub, pick some pine shoots, and it was just the perfect addition to the dish, and that it was so local. It just really inspired me to obviously get some books and start educating myself on it. And that goes hand in hand with climate change and all of that jazz. So it's just, for me, it's perfect with my beliefs at the minute.
And the attitude that they had there was very much that this is the norm.
Yeah, this is completely normal for them. If you didn't have forage stuff on your menu, or if you haven't got pine on your menu or flowers from around the corner on your menu, like, you are weird. You are a fast food joint. any restaurant that has any kind of values or principles, they will be using forage stuff on the menu because, like I mentioned before, it does encourage growth and it's just as local as it can be. So there's more nutrients that you know what your produce is, you're proud of your produce, and you can be responsible for the things you're using and make the right choices directly just through what's on your doorstep.
Mm-hmm. And at the right time of year. And I've got to say, more than anything, the bits that I've sampled today, it's so much tastier too. The flavour is really intense of these things. So I would highly recommend having a go at some of the things we're talking about here.
Chamomile.
Oh yes, chamomile, of course. Chamomile's right here. So again, when will this, you think this is kind of coming to an end now, chamomile, is it? Or
It's coming to an end in terms of looking pretty. But actually, when all the petals drop off, that's the best time to take your bud for teas. Ooh. And stuff. But for me, for example, the first week, the menu that I put on, we had like cod and chamomile broth and then all the chamomile flowers. So yeah, the flowers were quite useful for looking pretty, but the buds are where the flavour's at.
And again, this is going to be another one where do make sure that you pick it from either slightly higher up or away from the dog walking routes, because you really don't want it if the dogs have been at it. She's scanning again. What's the most interesting thing you found on the island? Well, what surprised you as being kind of in abundance over here?
Obviously, coming over as a non-Manx resident, I was very shocked at the amount of wild garlic that there was.
Yeah.
I was very shocked at how much wild garlic there was. Obviously, it's not an uncommon thing, but just the vast
Everywhere.
Amount of it here is amazing. Oh, wait. And actually, when I first moved over, I was calling it a nasturtium island because the amount of nasturtiums everywhere is just bizarre to me. I've only ever seen like a plant in a relative's garden. So I was really shocked at the amount of nasturtiums. So I'm really pleased with that because it makes really nice powder, syrups, like mayonnaise. We had lamb arancini with a nasturtium mayo on it, and how peppery and citrusy it is, mm-hmm. in contrast to this like earthy, nice, Loctony taste was just perfect. And that is again exactly a reflection in the dish of the landscape, the lambs around the nasturtiums on a plate, and it is a match made in heaven.
I think you've come to the right place to live, Pippa.
So this is, it's all a bit dried up and stuff, so you'll have to wait till the tide goes out to actually pull it up itself. But this is orweed and this is kelp. So kelp is amazing as an ice cream.
Kelp ice cream, what?
Yeah, so there's some different varieties. For example, there's a place in Japan where all of the Michelin star restaurants buy this amazing sugar kelp that's specific to them, kind of thing. And they all have this big belief that this is specific kelp has to be used for this amazing ice cream or this amazing thing, and only this one from this one place. But fundamentally, this is exactly the same stuff. It's literally the same kind of seaweed, but just in a different water. Like, maybe it's a bit saltier or not, but it's exactly the same stuff that every Michelin restaurant uses.
Wow. And we've got it right here and we could pick it up.
Literally, yeah. So what we'd do with that, for example, is make kelp water. So you'd put it in big, massive tanks of water, mm-hmm. and infuse it for like a week till all the flavour comes out into the water. And then maybe you just leave that water to dehydrate into salt. So then you'd have kelp-flavoured salt, which then you could use for anything. Or you cook it with a load of sugar or local honey and whatever and make a syrup from it,
wow.
which then you use for your ice creams or desserts. And it's just such a simple thing, kelp, but it's everywhere.
It is everywhere. We're surrounded by it. This is fantastic.
Yeah, obviously there's loads of different kinds of seaweed. Like, this is bladder wrack. Channeled rack, there you go, more kelp.
So the bladder rack is one that's got those little bladders on it that you can kind of pop.
Yeah, sure. And they're really, really good for collagen baths.
Really?
Yeah, so fill yourself a bath and chuck a load of this seaweed in it, bladder rack, and it's a really good collagen bath. So obviously it's a collagen bath. It's good for your skin and supple and your hair and stuff, but it's also like really detoxifying, so it would draw out the toxins of your weekend.
So are you also aware of, having investigated all of these various bits and bobs that you can forage then, of that sort of the almost beauty product element of it inside of it?
I won't really say beauty product. Obviously, there's a few bits and bobs that you know, and scrubs and stuff you can do.
Yeah.
But more about the health benefits in terms of nutritional value, or herbalism and botany and those kind of nutritional values that come with the food. So for example, meadow sweet that we were talking about earlier is actually where aspirin came from.
Wow.
I say aspirin came from, it didn't, the meadow sweet didn't just like pop an aspirin, but the idea for these the inflammatory ones like ibuprofen and aspirin and all that kind of thing, mm-hmm. Came from recognizing the way that meadow sweet was an anti-inflammatory, and then from there they developed these drugs from the meadow sweet.
Wow. I know, but that's the way it used to be, isn't it? When we weren't able to just buy stuff off a supermarket shelf or order something online, or people did just have to work out what they could do with what was around them.
Yeah, and I think coming back to these like old ways and going back to our roots is exactly what we need to be doing right now, obviously with what's going on in the world and the climate and stuff like that. And there's never been a time where it's more appropriate to use stuff that's as local as it can be, and whether that is for your food, nutrition, medicine, like whatever we can do to do that, I think it's really worthwhile making an effort for.
The Nation Station.